First things first.
Alright.
So listen up, guys. Listen up. Who's gonna be able to come out tomorrow night to the thing tomorrow night? Looks like most of you guys. Okay. You coming out tomorrow night? Saray too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, maybe.
You're gonna have like the designs in your
face. I will assume.
No.
I will assume the best. So, are we cool? Let's talk about me and you. Are we cool? I know you're cool. Are you guys... Hey, don't be interrupting, boy. Are you guys okay with chicken, macaroni, salad? Yeah, it won't be Chick-fil-A this time, babe. Right. Will Kenzie be able to come, or she got a game or anything? Do you know? Okay. Yeah, this will be Canes this time. Yeah. What's up? Who said? You good? Oh, yeah. It'll be Canes. Huh?
Of course.
That's right. It's not bad at all, girl. What are you talking about?
Somewhat.
It's debatable.
I think not.
So should we bring some Chick-fil-A sauce for you?
Don't get the watermelon.
Get
some Chick-fil-A.
Hey, Chick-fil-A ranch is so good.
You don't know nothing about the
Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's ranch. Their buttermilk ranch.
Okay.
You grandmother's what? Wait, what is this, Bryson?
My grandmother's
blackberry
cobbler.
She's like
heavily Cajun. She makes
it
heavily Cajun. Not just a dash.
She's not like
heavy on the Cajun, please.
German food's pretty good.
For the German food's pretty good.
German food's really good. They're scary, but they got
good. They're scary. All right.
How'd your mom make some peach cobblers?
Too late. She would have loved to. It's been a minute, man.
Isn't it
like
better?
No, okay, hey, listen up. Listen up. Oh, what fun it is to hush. So open gym. No, we don't. Sorry, guys. We're not able to solidify that. Huh? Yeah, we can have a closed gym, though. We can have a lockout. Hopefully it doesn't. Today it was a heavier chance of rain, and I didn't get much of anything at all. So I'm hoping tomorrow is showing 40% right now. It's showing 8 a.m. We're supposed to have something then around 4 and 5 p.m., 40% chance. So hopefully that comes and goes really quick. We have an awesome game idea that Jarrett McClanahan came up with. What is it called?
Jackal and Tackle.
I don't think it's going to be tackle, but there might be some jackal. And so slippery pumpkin toss. And basically, what's like ultimate pumpkin or something?
Ultimate frisbee.
Okay, listen up. Jarrett's going to explain it, guys. Listen
it's
up.
Ultimate frisbee, you know, where you have to get it to the other side, but you can only throw it when you've got it. Like, once as soon as you get it, you can't run anymore.
Don't be showing up trying to look. Hey, listen, don't show up in something nice that you're trying to look cute in. You're around family. We're hanging out. All right. So don't wear a white shirt unless you don't mind it getting dirty. That's right. I was going to say that, but you already did. So yeah. Pumpkin guts make it look good anyway. Yeah, show up in something you guys don't mind getting dirty. We'll probably end up walking up to the park or that soccer field in between our houses. That'd be a good spot to do it. Does that belong to anybody, or is it just out there? Okay. Yeah, we will. Yeah. So get ready for that. Ultimate Pumpkins. We got some visitors coming. Like I was saying, pray for those guys I talked to Sunday. But it sounds like Damien told me his sister, little sister, might be coming. Supposed to be coming, so hopefully that'll happen. Colton's got a friend that's coming out, so yeah. Oh, dude. Hey, those are the best friends. Hey, boy, those are the best friends right there. Those are the only friends you need, Bryson. These are the only friends you need right here. Have you guys seen each other at school yet?
Oh.
Well, that is sweet. Look at you. Got a couple little freshmen coming up to you.
My friends don't push me. I'm joking. Yeah.
See, best friends, I told you. Guys, that's all I have. Anybody else have something else to add? You guys are very animated tonight, so
I wanted to. We're so excited.
Hey, I'm glad to be here too, man. Seriously, such a release from the world and everything else like that. Nice little oasis. Jenny, what's up?
So they have a craft event on Sunday the 10th. If you want to sign up and do that, a little wagon
for the females, right?
Well,
yeah. I think so.
You should be more
appealing to women.
They're appealing to women. Did any guys do it last
time? Great gift for your mother.
Last time, the dice game.
Oh,
Bunko.
Mm.
It was fun.
I played.
It was a lot of amazing for a dice game.
What do you do?
Like
you're up moving around the table or something?
Yeah, you rotate tables.
Oh, okay.
I played
it. I want to
it was kind of like
show. I want to let the record show the
speed
women
dating is what it
was.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm the youth master.
Oh, yeah. I just want you to play.
I actually played with a stuffed dog instead of.
Yeah, because most other guys were downstairs watching the game, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my partner was a stuffed animal for a while. Except he was amazing. We won.
Oh my gosh. All right, well, one more. Go ahead, babe.
If you haven't been baptized, they're doing baptisms on Sunday the 17th, so just need to sign up for that.
That's right.
The hayride is Saturday, the 23rd of October. That's a long time.
October 23rd at Gary's house. Hayride. Brady, what's up?
If you want to sign up to Scare, there's a sign-up sheet.
Yeah. No.
Lord Sisson is hosting the Scare, so if you guys would like to...
No, I like to be scared. I don't
have
like
him bestow his graces on you. That is an experience. Everyone needs an experience in their life at least once. At least once. It's for some, not for most. So, yeah.
I think I lost my person, though. I said I'll scratch my name up.
Alpha Bounce, guys. Dad.
Literally, that's what I did.
Like
a
scream.
I'd rather ride
the trailer.
You want to ride the hay ride?
Yeah.
I'm way more into the chill side of all that right now, for sure. Mace, what are you working on tonight?
Oh, nothing.
You got your name on the. Oh, it's you. That's it, man. You girls are something special, dude. I remember the last. I mean. Like, you guys are just so official, like, note-taking.
Put a
everything.
Date on our paper and that
yes,
makes us special. That bar is really low.
I know, I probably should have said that, but no, it is. It's just like, gosh, I slack it so much of that stuff. So, very good. All right, well, go ahead and stand up. Grab a hymnal. Let's sing, man.
I just write with pen. It's just the way that the pen bends that makes it
more nice.
Very, very
Bryson.
It's just
it's not even my fault.
You're using big words.
What?
The way that
very
what?
Sassy.
Ethan. Yes. Open us up in a word of prayer and then we'll get rolling. We're gonna sing number 15 first, guys. Brethren, we have met to worship.
Alright. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank for this day. Thank for everything you do. Just give Bob the words to say and give Zach the words to say tonight. And just thank for letting us all get here safe. And if there's anybody that's not here yet, just let them get here safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Brethren, we have met to worship. Number 15. Here we go. Let's sing out. Lift up our voices to the Lord. Give him that preeminence that he's due.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and hold.
holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. And sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sisters aided him. Will you help the
trembling mourners
who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray. Will be showered all around, and let us love our God supremely.
Let us love each other too.
And let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself
and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Amen, amen. What is that thing? How Firm a Foundation? What number is that? I forget.
268.
268. Thank you, Kenzie. 268. How Firm a Foundation. Amen. Here we go. Verse 1.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled, fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials shall I, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. So that on Jesus that lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never,
never. Number one, O worship the King. Number one.
O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm.
thy bountiful care.
What tongue can recite?
It breathes in the air, it shines in the light, it streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our defender. Number 45, number 45, same thing. Ye servants of God, your master proclaim, and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name all victorious of. Amen. Extol his kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. God ruleth on high, almighty to save, and still he is. Amen. His presence we have, the great congregation, his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God who sits on the throne. Let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praise of Jesus
the angels proclaim,
fall down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give him his night. All glory and power and wisdom and might, all honor and blessing and angels above, and thanks never ceasing
in infinite love.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing
my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King,
the triumph. Verse 1 again.
Tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King,
the triumphs of his praise. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim,
to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of.
What's his name?
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in this sinner's ear, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever again. By saints below and saints above, the church in.
Back up the ladder. Here we go. Glory to God
and praise and love be ever, ever again. By saints below and saints above, the church in earth.
He breaks the power.
He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the valleys clean,
the blood of veil for Jesus.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health.
My gracious Master,
my gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad. The
for a thousand tongues.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King,
the triumphs of His grace.
Number 34, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Going right there. Here we go.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise. In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light. Nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love, to all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of life, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sighs. All praise we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth.
36, the mighty fortress. 36. There we go.
The mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man as who that may be,
Christ Jesus,
Christ Jesus it is He. Lord Sabbath was His name, from age to age the same, and He shall win the battle.
Is that too low for you guys? We'll take it up a little bit. All right, we'll jump it up just a little bit. Here you go, verse 3.
And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for Him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abide. Spirit and the
light is still.
His kingdom is forever.
O Lord my God,
when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze.
What does your soul say?
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not spared, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing,
let him die.
He bled and died
to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Amen.
How great thou art. Son not sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing,
he bled and died
to take away. sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
Another great song about that. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In pity, angels beheld him, and they came from their world of light to comfort him in his sorrows. His own sorrows? He bore for my soul that night. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. And how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Man, you know, guys, that is going to really mean something when we step out of this physical flesh that we're in and we see what's around us every day. The principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, the demonic forces that want you in hell. But by God's grace, you're not going there. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And it's really going to mean so much to us. And that's my prayer for you. Once you catch a vision of that, you have fuel. You've got fire to keep you on the straight and narrow. The Bible says, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. Who is upright? What does that mean? Now, one time you were dead in sin. So let's use that. Let's use those symbolisms there. If you are dead in sin, when you're dead, are you standing up or you laying down? You lay it out, okay? You're down on the ground. You're gone. But what Jesus Christ did, he came, he put his spirit into you, and now you're upright, okay? So you're a saved person. The Bible says, now that you're upright, how do we stay in the way that God wants us to go in? Righteousness. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. The decisions that you guys make each and every day of your life is what determines whether or not you stay in God's way or you start to go your own way. Now, that's basic Bible. Absolutely. That's lessons you guys have been hearing from Sunday school. But I want to capitalize on that tonight with this lesson that we're going to talk about and what we're going to start moving forward with. And I told you guys on Lifeline, I had something I wanted to talk to you about that I think if you can grasp it. And we're probably not going to spend 1 week on this. We're going to spend some time on this. We're not going to try to rush through this at all because I think this is the principal thing for a Christian to have in their life. Because it tells you what to do now, but it also motivates you because of what it promises you later on. Okay? We're going to talk about your rewards once you get to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to talk about the crowns. We're going to talk about how we can use those things to keep us on track for God. How many of you guys like birthdays in here? Raise your hand. Okay, so a couple of the girls like them. Some of the guys are like over that right now. Back when you were younger, did you ever, you guys didn't raise your hands, did you guys like birthdays when you were younger? You still like them? How many of you guys like getting gifts on your birthday? All right. How many of you guys like getting gifts at Christmas time? All right. How many of you guys like just getting gifts anytime? Like, it's just, dude, it doesn't have to be any special occasion. If you see me and you think about me, go ahead and drop something on me. Okay, Ethan's got that, all right? Same here. How many of you guys have ever been to a birthday party for someone you really cared about and you forgot a gift? Okay, maybe you didn't even forget a gift because, like, you care about them, but for whatever reason, life got busy. You knew you had to show up at this party, but you also knew you couldn't go and get a gift before because it would be more important for you to be there, like, on time and have it going. And you're like, oh, my gosh, they'll just have to trust I'm going to bring something a little bit later on. All right, that's happened to me several times, okay? Absolutely, yeah. And so you're just like, well, dang, you know what? God, hopefully they'll just have grace on me. And the worst thing is when they sit everybody around and say, now we're going to open gifts. They're going to open them one at a time and call out. And then, especially if the group's not too big. If it's like one of these parties, like, so we go to like Macy's party or Selma's. Whenever it's like a party where we have a ton of people at, you can kind of hide in. But when it's like an intimate party, it's like, I'm inviting you because you're one of my closest buddies and you just mean so much to me. It's like eight of you there. And then like they're going around, there's seven gifts. Ouch. Right? Oh, okay, so Bryson's gonna free. Oh, same here. No, same here. See, I can't say it though. He's just more honest, man. He's just more honest about it. No. Absolutely. That's exactly what you do. You're like, dude, there's no way where I'm going down like this. All right. So Bryson and I chose to bring this group gift, of course. So that happens. Guys, it will not be a laughing matter when you get up before Jesus Christ and he had five things he wanted you to bring him on his birthday. That's what these five crowns are. That's all he's asking from you. You know, you ever think about that? How could salvation be so simple? How could it be so easy? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So he gave us his gift, which is eternal life. We got to escape hell. We got to get out of that thing. But the Bible says what he's expecting from us. Let me show you where I'm getting this from are some crowns. When Jesus Christ shows up, it's actually the last time the word crown shows up in your Bible. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Let me show you. Revelation chapter 19. The last time the word crown shows up in your Bible, it shows up on Jesus Christ. Now, throughout the Bible, you find the Antichrist getting crowned. You find people getting figurative crowns. People getting crowned with glory and honor. People getting crowned with honor and glory. People getting crowned with loving kindness and blessings and grace and all this stuff like that. So you got figurative crowns, you got literal crowns. The last time it shows up on Jesus Christ. And over here in Revelation chapter 19, we see Jesus Christ coming back. Pastor Bob on Sunday talked about the two main chapters in the book of Revelation, how you can tie everything into that book and break it up and rightly divide it. He said, you want to focus on the times when the windows in heaven open up. One time that window opens up and someone's going up. The second time that door in heaven opens up, someone's coming down. Revelation chapter 4, the rapture. Revelation chapter 19, the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right, so over here in Revelation chapter 19, the second coming's happening. And look what it says right here, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. That's why we sing that song, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark now, the heavenly anthem sounds, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me, and hail him as the King of Kings throughout eternity. So here it is right here. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, where do those crowns come from? Why didn't he just have one crown? Why is it many crowns that he has on his head? Okay, come back to Revelation chapter 4. Let's see where he got those crowns from. Revelation chapter 4. All right, Revelation chapter 4. The other really important spot in Revelation. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, they lay out the church age. That's what you and I are living in right now. That's the symbology of it. All right, they lay out that 2,000-year period of history where God takes his mystery, his bride, the church, and gets them ready to come up to the judgment seat of Christ. gets them ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, gets them ready for the wedding, gets them ready to come back with him. But this is when they go up. Revelation chapter 4. Watch this, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. See, just like Revelation 19. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Where do you get those crowns from? Those 24 elders. I have no idea who those guys are, but the crowns that they had, they didn't feel worthy to wear in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and they cast them at his feet. But it's instructive because this is the chapter that you and I get up to heaven. This is when the church shows up after the rapture. And when we show up, these guys that have been up there, these leaders, the elders, are casting their crowns before the Lamb. Now, if they've been up there and they've been around him, if maybe somehow they got used to his presence and all they could help but do was cast their crowns off, what do you think is going to happen to you when you get up there? Yours are coming off too. And you're going to see it as an honor because this is his day. You know, the Bible calls it the rapture. It calls it the day of Jesus Christ. It calls it the day when Jesus Christ comes back for us. All right. I call that his birthday. When you go back over there in the book of Job, it talks about Job's sons and daughters and how they all got together to celebrate each one of them on his day. You guys ever think about the day of the Lord as Jesus Christ's birthday? You guys know what happened last week? His birthday, somewhere between that September 22nd to 23rd, somewhere in that time like that, is the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Bible lays that out as the second coming of Jesus Christ, the day he's going to return. All right. Now we know all that stuff about the times and the season. That's not the important thing. The thing is this: on his day, will you have something to give him? Will you have a present to bring him? Will you have a gift for him? Or like that old song says, must I go in empty-handed? What a horrible thing. When we look at these crowns, we're going to see, guys, that when you get these things, you get your perspective right on these things. It lines you up to set yourself up right for Christ. Now, we saw how that Jesus Christ had crowns on his head. We saw where they came from in the book of Revelation. But now, how do we get them while we're down here? Come back to Proverbs chapter 4. Go from Revelation chapter 4 to Proverbs chapter 4. What can we do while we're right here, right now, to make sure that we get these things secured? Proverbs chapter 4. Pick it up right here in verse number 7. Watch this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Who here knows what wisdom is? Alex says he knows. I don't believe that. But I bet Macy knows before Alex does. Anna says she knows. There's no way in the world she's got that in her notes. Caleb? Colton? All right, Caleb, you go first. Colton, you get his rebound if he misses.
It's knowledge and understanding.
So he says, wisdom is knowledge and understanding. Colton, what do you think? Colton says knowledge and understanding. Does everybody agree with those guys? Kinsey?
The applying of knowledge and understanding.
The application. Yeah. All right. Hey, that was good. That was good. But I got to go with Kinsey. The first time that word shows those up back there in Exodus, you know what it's talking about? God was calling his people to build a temple for him, or at that time it was a tabernacle. And he gave a buttload, a ton of instructions to Moses. It was ridiculous. It was very descriptive, very intricate, just tons of detail, okay? And Moses is like, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? I couldn't even go before Pharaoh and talk. He had to use Aaron to do that for me. And now you want me to build this Taj Mahal for you? How's this going to work out? And God's like, no, not you, son. But I want you to find out men who have wisdom to do this. They can take my knowledge and they can apply it. So we get the picture of wisdom in the Bible right there. The Bible is full of knowledge. It's full of facts. Okay? What is wisdom, though? It's taking those facts and applying it to your life. What does Solomon teach us how to do? He teaches us how to take God's knowledge and put it to use in our life. That's why Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It goes through every scenario that a man can come up against in life, and it teaches him how to take these principles and apply them. And it also shows him what happens when you apply the principles. He talks about he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Okay, so a person that took the principles he has and applied them to his life becomes more wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So he gives you a contrast. The person that doesn't want to be wise but hangs out with fools, doesn't get the knowledge, doesn't take it, doesn't apply it to his life, just becomes dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber. How do you guys feel society is going? Do you feel it's getting smarter and smarter and smarter? Or maybe smarter isn't in the right word, because maybe they are. Maybe they're getting too smart for their own good. But do you feel like they're becoming more and more wise or more and more foolish? Yeah. When we're back to spending most of our time in education trying to talk about what sex you are, guys, we're back at writing our name again. Shouldn't we have progressed past that? You know, that's one of the things I hated about, like, the old churches I grew up in. There's a lot of, you know, fun stuff, cool stuff, good stuff for your flesh. The problem was when it came to the Bible, we were only on the ABCs. Okay, what does it take to get saved? Okay, now that I'm saved, what should I do with it? Next week, what does it take to get saved? All right, now, just, oh, it was like Groundhog Day over and over and over again. The same things, because why was that? They never had that ability to grow past that. And that's the problem with society now. We're leaving off of the higher education things that came from when people took the Bible and trusted it, and God used to develop them and take them to the bigger heights. And now we're back to talking about how many genders are there really? See how that works out? Are a man and a woman the same thing truly? Is there any difference between them? That's where we're at again, guys. That's where we're at. But right here it says in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. So whatever we're about to talk about here is key. Who's higher in the school building than the principal? Bryson, who's above your principal at your school?
Administrator.
Yeah. You guys have administrators that are in your building?
Sometimes.
Do they, their office is there? Like, they're the leader there in that building?
Yeah.
I don't think.
The district people are never there.
Well,
I've seen them walking around.
No, they absolutely, well, I remember seeing them walking around too. The answer is no. Like, you could have the president show up at your house and he could be higher than you in America. But technically, you are the highest in your house if you own the house. All right, so put it like that. The principal is the daddy of the school. All right. If she's a woman, she's the queen mother, I guess. I don't know. All right. So, guys, when it comes to us trying to prioritize spiritual things in our lives, we're like, well, what's the most important thing? Should it be faith? Okay, should it be truth? Should it be this and that? Look what the Bible says here. The principal thing is wisdom. Now, why is that? Why wouldn't it be truth? Let's do some critical thinking here. This is sounding blasphemous, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so Ethan agrees at least. It does sound blasphemous. No. If truth is the key. Alex says no. All right. Anna says no. So the Bible's wrong then for calling it a principal thing, right? How does that work out? Well, I mean, like when it comes to spiritual priorities, we're talking about should faith be the number one thing that we focus on? Should grace be the number one thing we focus on? Should love be the number one thing we focus on? Should peace? Should truth? Why does the Bible sit up here and highlight principal thing? Shouldn't it say truth is the principal thing, therefore get truth? Why does it say wisdom?
Wisdom is truth.
Okay, he says wisdom is truth. Beautiful. There you go. Guys, anybody can read the truth that's in the Bible. That does nothing. One thing it does do for sure, it convicts you of your sin, righteousness, and judgment, sends you to hell because now you know you're not ignorant anymore. But when you apply that truth, now you're doing something with it. You see, you guys ever heard somebody say to you, knowledge is power?
Yes.
That's a lie. When you use knowledge, it's power. Mm-hmm. Knowing something doesn't do anything. As a matter of fact, all it would do for most guys, it would puff them up, okay? You know what the problem with academia is? And, what do they even call these guys? Intellectuals and stuff like that? They've got no blue-collar experience. They've got great ideas, just like they talk about the politicians that tell soldiers to go into battle. They've got great ideas about how this can help the country politically and stuff like that, but they've got no idea of the cost to get out there, put your hands into the ground, the cost to go out there, get behind a rifle, go down range and watch people die next to you, to see the effects of sending rounds down range and how it affects, like what we did in our retaliation for what happened in Afghanistan. We went and blew up a family that had nothing to do with ISIS. All right. So that's how that thing works out. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to use that knowledge. Okay. So that's what's going on here. That's why wisdom is the principal thing, guys. So look what else it says about this. Therefore, get it. This is what you ought to be going after. All right. Applying knowledge is the most important thing. And now look what else it says here. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Okay. What's understanding? Who knows what understanding is? If you don't know what understanding is, look over here at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. I like when Proverbs kind of gives you these straight little definitions like this. Proverbs 9:10. Whoever gets there first, read that out loud. One of the kids. One of the children. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. What's understanding? Go ahead, Ethan.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
That's pretty clear. What is the knowledge of the holy? Who's the holy one? Donald Trump? You know, they had I think it was it might have been Georgia or South Carolina or something like that. They had some sign on some billboard that said that, in Trump we trust, or something like that. Or is that some like Bible verse tied up to him? Oh, behold, unto us a son is given, or something like that, or is what it said. It like had that verse from Isaiah 9, and it had Donald Trump's face on it. Like, he was supposed to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you believe that? Then you had that girl, in gay we trust. Wow, we'll see how that, you know, works out for her at the judgment. Okay, back off my rabbit trail. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, 2020 and 2021, it doesn't seem like it's getting much clearer, but it seems like everyone was kind of confused about what the heck was going on. What am I supposed to be doing? What is God doing in this? Wouldn't it have been awesome the day before the coronavirus became a major thing for you to know exactly what God was thinking about the whole situation, and then to take that knowledge and go into that situation with that? How many of you guys would like to have that, the knowledge of the holy? Guys, that's what understanding is. And the Bible says you get that when you get wisdom. You get to have the same knowledge that God has about everything that's happening in life. So, whereas you got people that are on the right side of things that say, well, this is what's really happening out here in America, and if we fix these things, we can progress and move forward. And then you got people on the left side that are saying, no, this is what's truly happening. These injustices like this, these oppressive things that are happening right here. And if we can fix these things, we can move forward. They're both wrong. Because then you have God's knowledge, and he's saying, no, this is exactly what's happening. This is what I'm doing. And if you do this, you'll come out clean at the judgment. That's why wisdom is so important, because that's the type of insight look you get at things. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now look at verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8. Some instructions on what to do with her once you've gotten her. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Exalt her. When you exalt wisdom, it will promote you. Do you guys think that there's a such thing as a spiritual hierarchy? Or do you think we're pretty much all on the same level? You guys tired of me asking these tricky questions like this? Okay, I'm not looking for right answers, but what I am, I feel like we get into like this zombified, brainwashed state sometimes. You know, I know I do. Looking at Instagram, looking at the flicker rate on commercials, televisions, and all this junk like that. And before long, everywhere we go, we're almost just waiting to be like entertained. Like we're just kind of like, sitting there watching. So when I ask these questions, it's not to make people look stupid. It's almost just trying to like make a spark happen. Like, oh yeah, stop. He's not just going to immediately give me an answer right here. Because that's what getting into the Bible is all about, guys. Getting your minds flowing again. You know? So what did I ask? Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall promote thee. When you get a promotion, is that usually a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah. Do you go up or down with promotion? Up. So someone that gets wisdom and exalts wisdom gets promoted. Here's my question. Are they then on the same level as everyone else who didn't do that? No. That was pretty easy. No. All right. But why don't we want to say that? Because that means when we don't do what God wants us to do, we're not at the same level as everybody else that is doing what he wants us to do. And we don't like that. We want God to treat us all the same, regardless of how we treat him. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know. I don't want to say it. I don't want to read this and really meditate on that and think about what the implications are there. Okay, it doesn't matter what I want to think. And see, there's a problem with that. You know what the Bible says about truth? What the Bible says about his word? He said it's only effective in our lives if we actually believe it. And once God gives us light on something, it's not our job to hide from it and say, dang, that's jacked up, God. I don't want it to be like that. So since I don't want it to be like that, I'm going to act like you never said that and keep going back to my idea of what you really are and make you an idol in my heart based off of what I think is good and what works out for me. I don't want to learn about the true God of the Bible who actually does have favorites, who said over there in Proverbs chapter 8, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Who said over there in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, that stars differ from one another in glory. In 1 Corinthians 15:41, so is the resurrection of the dead. Do all stars shine the same amount of same amount of brightness, guys, in the star when you look up? No, they actually don't. Go, I know you probably haven't seen these stars lately with all the city lights, but next time you get out in the country, you'll notice that some stars look small, some stars look really big, some are really bright, some are kind of dull. That's what he's likening it to. Once we get up to heaven, once we get up to glory, and guys, right now is when we make the difference to determine that. The Bible says, no, we're not all on the same level. If Macy is more faithful to God than I am, and her heart is closer to him than mine is, Macy's on a higher level, even though I'm the youth pastor. You guys understand that? So it's not a hierarchy based off of fleshly things, because Zach is always up here talking, because he leads music, because he's a youth pastor, and he gets the lifeline started, and he prays. No, it has nothing to do with it. It's an individual, personal relationship. It's got nothing to do with my title. You guys ever think of that? God might have me doing this because it takes me having this responsibility just to stay in fellowship with him versus someone like Elena here, who doesn't have any issues at all because she actually loves God. Zach has to do it because if he didn't have to prepare something for you guys, he would look stupid. And he's so scared about his reputation looking bad that if I don't give him this opportunity right here to have to prepare something for folks, that's the only thing that can keep him on track. But Colton, on the other hand, he's fine. He doesn't need that type of stuff. I can tell him what to do and send him out, and he'll be fine. You guys ever think about it like that? Guys, there is a difference between how God looks at us, the fellowship that he has with us, and what place we hold in his eyes. Absolutely. Calvary was simple. It was the same. It was ground zero for all of us. All right? We came to Calvary to get pardoned. But once we got pardoned, we got empowered with that Holy Spirit to accomplish His purpose. And based off of how much we practice that, will determine the type of promotion we get when we get up to heaven. Your promotion, just like at work, just like on your sports team, just like in whatever club you're in, is based off the amount of work you do to get it. We're not going to all be promoted to the same level. You guys understand that? You hear what I'm saying? That's really close to Jesus loves me, sorry about you. All right? Proverbs chapter 4. Exalt her. Do you hold wisdom high? If so, she's going to promote you. Look at this. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Where are you going to get your honor at? Will it happen now? Will it happen later? This is a positive, absolute formula for getting honor. Exalt her. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. So right now in life, when you guys get wisdom and you apply knowledge to your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find that you keep getting grace from God. Yes, you're a human being, and you're fallible, and you don't have all the answers, but somehow you keep finding yourself in similar situations with people, and you're coming out clean somehow. God's protecting you somehow. It's like He's got a hedge of protection around about you that keeps you safe and keeps you focused and keeps you where you ought to be. That's the benefit of wisdom right now. There's an ornament of grace on your big head. All right? God's protecting that thing. Look what happens later on. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. See, you guys probably thought I was rambling this whole time, and I am. But the whole reason we came back to this, remember what we started out with? Jesus Christ shows up with crowns on. He gets those crowns from those 24 elders. We know we're supposed to bring Him crowns, but where does that start? It starts right here in our day-to-day activities. It starts right here with us practicing the application of knowledge, wisdom. When the devil sends a wicked thought into your mind, and you choose to entertain it, instead of saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," instead of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, instead of telling the devil to flee from you and resisting it, you miss an opportunity at that promotion. But when you do, discipline yourself and do like 1 Corinthians 9 says and put under your body and bring it into subjection, guys, you just got more points toward that promotion. See, this is a personal thing. You don't have to have a ministry that you're over. You don't have to be discipling someone. Your Christian life can be vibrant, pretty exciting, and pretty charged up if you understand these things that God has asked you to do right now and you get after it. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. You taking the knowledge you get from the Bible and using it in your life is not just the right thing to do, but it's the way you prepare for eternity. Your daily obedience is producing actual rewards for you at the judgment seat of Christ. Your daily rewards are producing actual rewards. Or your daily obedience is producing actual rewards for you at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over here to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible calls this laying hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, the tough thing about being a New Testament Christian, and I used to think it was the worst thing, you know, it's, especially when you're trying to witness to people and you're talking to people about, you know, God, and they say, like, okay, if God's still alive and He's still real and that's true and all that stuff like that, why didn't He do those miracles like He did back in the Old Testament? You know, why didn't he crack open the Missouri River for me and let me walk across or something like that? Why didn't He turn this water into blood? Why didn't He send fire down from heaven like He used to if He's really upset with my lifestyle? Why does God let so much sin happen in the world? Why does he allow the righteous to suffer and all this stuff like that? Well, we know what's going on right now. He's not operating in the New Testament like he was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he was establishing a physical, literal, visible kingdom. And so, therefore, his hand operated in the same way. With physical, visible, literal signs and wonders to establish a literal, physical, visible people in a literal, physical, visible city, Jerusalem. Kingdom of heaven, all right? In the New Testament, we're in the kingdom of God. It's all spiritual now. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, I think. All right? So we know God operates differently. We know he's not doing things exactly like he used to. Don't you guys ever just kind of wish, man, but I wish there was just something physical down here. I could say, I've got this, and I know this is spiritual. I know it's just as good as heaven. Sometimes I feel like that. You know, I used to think prayer was something like that. You could get like that. But we know we really can't measure prayer. Sometimes the stuff you pray for comes through. Sometimes it doesn't. Doesn't necessarily mean God wasn't listening. He could have just been trying to get your heart right on it. But look over here. 1 Timothy 6 is probably the closest thing we can get to actually touching something invisible that's going to be with us for all eternity. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Watch this. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. We're still talking about invisible things. These are all spiritual. None of these things are tangible. This is all stuff inside your mind. You can't put faith on a plate and cut it up and pass it out, right? You can't do that with righteousness. You can't do that with godliness. You can't do that with love, patience, meekness. And now he just tells you to fight the good fight of faith. Well, what's faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Here we are once again. You know, I guess it wouldn't be too hard of a thing for the unsaved world to take a Christian into court and show that he was delusional. Or that he was living in his own imaginary world, right? With all this stuff. But check it out. Fight the good fight of faith. But look, by doing all these things from verses 11 and 12, watch this. Lay hold on eternal life. How do we grasp all this spiritual stuff, Zach? How do we get our hands around it and know for sure that we got it? Right there. By being righteous, by being godly, by having faith, love, patience, and meekness. God says those actions, in doing those things, are how you actually lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good profession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, I wasn't just reading that to take up time. Look at where we're going to right down here. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Oh, here it comes again. Laying up in store for themselves. Laying up in store. Verse 12 said, lay hold on eternal life. Verse 19 says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Back here in Proverbs chapter 4, you know the terminology that they use? Look at that. Verse 8, exalt her, she shall promote thee, she shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace, lay hold, lay up, lay hold, embrace, lay hold, lay up, lay hold, embrace. You get that? Guys, we get so busy with so much in our lives. You know, it's easier for us to learn something and forget about it. It's easier for us to be gung-ho about something tonight. And then as soon as our friends show us a new thing that came out tomorrow, that grabs our heart, that grabs our attention, that grabs our focus. And now we're all driving about that and focused on that. The only way you can apply wisdom daily in your life and get to this point to when you get up at the judgment seat of Christ, you get a crown of glory for it, is if you don't let wisdom be one of those things that you are hot about 1 second, then it's gone the next. You've got to embrace it. You guys ever seen somebody, like a news reporter, out in a hurricane before, what that looks like? Everything around them is flying past them. They can see it 1 second, it's gone the next. See it 1 second, gone the next. If they don't want to be just like that stuff that's tossed to and fro, you know what they have to do? They have to lay hold on something. They've got to embrace something. In the world, where you got new fads coming in and out, you got things flying in and out of your life daily, if you don't want to be like those fads, up and down, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro by every new fad that comes and goes, you better embrace something. Hold on to it and don't let it go. And may I suggest that be wisdom? Because when thou dost embrace her, she shall promote thee. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, so she give unto thee. Boy, what a good message right there. This is not something you want to let go of. You know, we forget so much, misplace so many things, but this needs to be the principal thing that we hold on to. Hearing the word of God and then being doers of it. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul talks about how he's fought the good fight of faith. And what he's waiting for is something that's laid up for him. You know what it is? It's a crown of righteousness. Guys, when you look at the Bible, it looks like these crowns, the moment that you get saved, are automatically applied to your account. It looks like you start out with these things. Paul said it's already laid up for him. But every believer, after salvation, it's their job to lay hold on it, to secure it. And you do that by your daily obedience to God, applying his knowledge to your life. So here's the thing. This is where the challenge comes in. And I wish I would have cut out these little pieces. I should have done this. Jared's always really good about doing little, sermon additions or something. I don't even know what to call it. Do props or something. That was the plan to do that. Have 5 different pieces of little paper. Pass out to each one of you. So let's act like I got that. Macy, here's a green one. Here's a red one. Here's a blue one. Here's a yellow one. Here's a purple one. Okay, all you guys have these 5 different... Pass them down, Macy. Go ahead. All you guys have these 5 different colors of paper in your hands, and they represent 5 different crowns. Once you're saved, you have them, guys. And your only job... Listen up, Frodo. Your only job is to take these 5, not rings, but these 5 crowns, and take them up to the mountain to Jesus Christ for his birthday. So a little bit different end. You know, we're not going to Mount Doom. All right, we're going to Mount Zion up in heaven, okay? For the huge birthday bash that's going to take place. And you got 5 crowns. These are just 5 gifts Jesus Christ is expecting from you all. But did you know each and every day, it's pretty much just the devil's number one job. He's trying to get you guys to lose some of those on your way up. You guys ever played Mario before? You go on to those levels and you start out with like 3 lives or something like that. Each time you die, you lose one. That's kind of how it is every time you give in to the devil, when you give in to temptation, when you yield to it. Every time that you're going to find out what these crowns represent. All right? So one of those crowns is the crown of righteousness. And don't worry about it. You can write it down now. We're going to be coming back over these several times. All right? The crown of righteousness. What's that for? To them that love his appearing. So how do you lose that crown? You start out the morning with it. Let's look at it like that. Each morning you wake up, you start out with it. How are you going to lose the crown of righteousness? By being more excited about anything in this world than Jesus Christ coming back to take you home. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Absolutely, man. Participate in everything that you do, but have understanding. See it as God sees it. Don't look at it like everyone else in the world looks at it. Don't think this is the end-all, be-all. This is what my life is about. This is what God made me. No, he didn't. Because if he comes back right now, how are you going to justify that? If he made you for that, why did he take you out in the middle of it and didn't let you accomplish it? Okay, don't lie to yourself. Don't make a picture of God in your mind that you can be satisfied with. Find out who he really is. And then adjust yourself to fit his expectation. Okay? Second one, crown of life. Crown of life. Well, what's that? The Bible says he's going to give that to everyone that endures temptation. The Bible talks about those that don't give in when they're tried. So there's two ways you can get that. One is being faithful unto death. So if you have to die as a martyr. I guess that happened to some Christians. I wasn't there. I don't know. But the account goes back when they had like these school shootings really kick off. There was a school named Columbine. Is that Colorado? Yeah. Columbine, Colorado. And that's like somebody wrote a book about it. I think there might have been a movie about it. How one of those shooters, Dylan or something like that, went up to a girl, asked them if they were a Christian. She said yes. He blew her head off. Now, if she would have said no, God knoweth our hearts. And he knows what really took place inside of there. He knows she might have quaked under fear and everything like that. But technically, the Bible says she would have lost that crown. The Bible says, be faithful unto death, and I shall give thee a crown of life. You say, well, Zach, what if I don't go out like that? What if I just go out in the natural way? All right? The Bible says if you endure temptation on day to day, that's how you get a crown of life. You know, I love when Bob first told me this. It's harder sometimes, guys, to live as a martyr than it is to die as one. Remember what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks? Dying to yourself, going down to that ground, except a corn of wheat, going to the ground and die. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hey, that was a good verse for this last week. Actually, yesterday. You guys hear about what happened to Taylor? Yeah. Taylor's dad died. And I woke up and read that. I'm like, oh my gosh, man, what a horrible thing. This guy's getting ready to get married. Just got, you know, things right with his life. Got into the church. Dad just came down here. I got to talk to, is Galen is his name? You know, he was so, you know, proud about Taylor and just the church and everything Bob had said about his son and everything like that. And next thing you know, here we are a couple of months later. He's going out into eternity. Now, that was a horrible thing. That was a sad thing. I was thinking, oh, my gosh, man, what would it be like for me back when Jenny and I were getting ready for our marriage? And then my dad's dead, and he's gone, just like that. You know what happened, though? Galen was saved. You know what happened? That corn of wheat went into the ground. Now, before that, it sounds like he was saved alone in his family. There was Taylor, and there was Galen. But it didn't sound like his wife was, or there were some other family members that weren't, too. You know what took place once Galen died and went to the ground? Actually, once Galen entered into life, you know what took place? Remember that verse? John chapter 12, verse 24. Except a corn of wheat die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Three family members got saved after his death. There you go. What a testimony for him, man. First thing he does when he gets up there to heaven, God's like, boy, come on over here. Look at what just took place. What a blessing. That's the crown of life. Will you endure temptation? Will you die to yourself daily to bring forth fruit in other people? Guys, God can do it. He's in the business of working miracles. He's all about accomplishing the things that we can't. I mean, that's what he, remember what we talked about in Lifeline? God likes to use weak things. He likes to go against the odds because all that does is show everybody that, man, I know that fool didn't do it, so something greater than him must be behind him doing it. And then God gets honor and glory from it. So if there's people in your life that you know are dying and going to hell, that for whatever reason you just have a wall, and you're like, gosh, why can't I reach them? Maybe it's because of who you are. Maybe it's because of how filthy you are. The Holy Spirit of God will not flow through a dirty vessel. All right? Why do you think David, as great as he was a man after God's own heart, still had to have a Psalm 51 moment. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You got to get clean. So stop thinking about those temptations as God keeping you from doing fun things in your life. He's not doing that. He wants to use you. He wants to let his power flow through you to reach these people, to do things that you are not humanly able to do. But until you get clean, he can't accomplish that. The crown of life. Third one, the crown of glory. All right, so crown of glory, what's that? That's 1 Peter 5. Over there it talks about how God's going to give a crown of glory to those that look after his people, look after his sheep. So, yeah, from the top down, absolutely. Pastors over churches that have to put up with the flock, feed the flock of God, and everything like that. There's a crown for putting up with that, for being an overseer, for being a husbandman, and everything like that, taking care of them. But guys, you don't have to be a pastor to do something like that. You can be someone that's discipling someone, and you get that crown. You say, well, Zach, what if I don't disciple? All right, do you have anybody in your life that watches you? You know you're supposed to be an example. You know our favorite thing to say? Christians that always witness and sometimes use words. Someone's always watching your life. You've got coworkers, you've got unsaved friends and family, you've got schoolmates. All right, they're looking at your life, and your testimony is actually going to determine whether or not you can get that crown based off of how you look after them. The testimony you put before them, does it make them want to draw closer to God, or does it make them think that God's a joke? And I want nothing to do with that. All right, your teammates, your friends, all that stuff. Guys, there's a way to get these crowns, all right? The next one is the incorruptible crown over there in 1 Corinthians 9. Now, what's that all about? That's about living temperately. So what is temperately? Who knows what temperance is? Alex knows. All right. So what does the word temper mean? Temperament. How about that? Okay, there's something close to that. So they're all kind of tied in together. Temperature, temper, temperament, temperate. Here's an example that always made sense to me. How many of you guys have a thermostat in your house? All right. When it's super hot outside, what do you usually do on that thermostat? Turn it down. You want it cold. When it's super cold outside, you know, what do you usually do with that thermostat? Okay, so the temperature in the world fluctuates. It's up and down. It's all over the place. The thermostat's job is to, how do you say that? Invite temperance. All right. To initiate temperance in the house. To make a level area that's always the same. All right. Somewhere in between whatever you guys like. You know, 68 to 74, whatever it is. Okay. That's what temperance is. Everything that's taking place in your life and the world, your job as a Christian is not to get caught up in that. So it's kind of like what we talked about, laying hold on something, embracing something so that you don't get tossed to and fro. You're flying all over the place. There's a crown associated with you living a temperate life. Not getting caught up too much in the stuff that's out here in the world. Always having an even keel, an even focus. Focus on what God has for you. Focus on what really matters. Focus on making sure you secure these crowns and get them to the end destination. That's what temperance is. Do you have that ability? When people are really hot and pissed off in the world, can you turn the temperature down? When people are really cold and uninviting, can you turn it up with warmth? Do you have that ability? Or are you just like them? Are you tossed to and fro? Are you affected by the circumstances just as much as they are? The Bible says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. What does that mean? Most people, depending on the crowd that they're in, are affected by the influences that they're around. Birds of a feather flock together. Whoever you're hanging around will affect your attitude. But the Bible says about the righteous, he can be in the middle of that storm. He can be in the middle of that crowd with a bad attitude and be exactly who God wants him to be. He can be an individual. The way of the wicked seduceth them, but the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. Are you like that? Can you live temperately in a world that's toxic? In a world that's up and down? And lastly, talks about the crown of rejoicing. So they oftentimes call that the soul winner's crown, which is, you know, very important. But how about that attitude? Is that what you think about souls getting saved? You know, sometimes I got to catch myself because it shows me real quick that I'm backslidden when it happens. Someone would send me like just a little message, so-and-so just got saved. And I almost like scroll past it just like, you know, someone just sent me another video or something, you know. Like, oh, cool, praise the Lord, man. Okay, who else is sending something to me? No, someone was about to go to hell forever. Now they're not going to hell. which is a miracle in today's day and age with all the crap that people have to sift through in order to get saved. But what's my attitude towards it? The same attitude, I don't know, my atheistic physics teacher would have had about it. Sure, that's your belief. That's cool, man. Whatever. How do I know it really happened? I mean, I didn't do it after all, you know. What's your attitude about stuff like that? Amen. Guys, wouldn't that be horrible to have gotten more excited about touchdowns being scored than people's souls getting saved from heaven? Check your heart, man. Check your heart. Maybe that's why the Lord can't use you to win people to Christ, why he can't use you to reach out to your friends. You just got a heart that's not attractive to them. You guys ever had people like that in your life? They're really excited about certain things. You're happy for them, but that's just not what you're really into. So you guys just don't spend too much time together. What if God looks at you like that? Yeah, I know you're really excited about that sport. You're really excited about that book you're reading. You're really excited about that movie you're going to. Really excited about that car, aren't you? Okay, that's awesome, man. I'll see you in a little bit. He's just kind of like, yeah. Jeez. I mean, yeah, I know he's a part of the bride, but maybe he's like the little toe or something, the fungus under the foot or something like that. Man, I just don't want to see that much of that guy anymore. Yeah, you're still saved. I mean, you're a part of the bride, man. But we really are the tail end. We're the rear guard action. That's for sure. We're the stinky part of the bride. Hey, but in the upcoming weeks, we're going to talk about these crowns. We're going to go more in depth. And next week, we'll probably look at this word. And this is huge. You know, there's people prepping for all kinds of things happening in the world right now. There's people that are trying to get prepared for civil wars, for natural disasters, and all this stuff like that. But a Christian ought to be prepping right now for this day. You ought to be getting ready for it. And the Bible doesn't call it prepping. It calls it prudence. And we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about a prudent man when we get together. Because your prudence will determine your promotion. And when we come back next time, we're going to really lay out that word. We're going to do a pretty exhaustive word study on that word, prudence. So if you want to jump ahead of me, feel free to. But we'll do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Hey, guys, I can't wait to hang out tomorrow. Looking forward to it. 6 o'clock at my place. If you got everything taken care of on there, so we'll just do that. All right, let's close out with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time.